out off the black rock. There, that door. Dorian flapped toward it, willing his heart to calm, his scent, the one thing that might doom him, to remain unmarked. But none of the iron teeth flying overhead noticed the crow that did not smell like a crow. And the two laundresses winding up the tower stairs didn't call out as he landed on the small stone railing and folded his wings neatly. A hop, and he was on the stones. A shift, muscles and bones burning, and the world had become smaller, infinitely deadlier, and infinitely less aware of his presence. Dorian's whiskers twitched, his oversized ears cocking. The roar of the wyverns rocked through his small, furred body, and he gritted his teeth. Large, almost too big for his little mouth. The reek grew near nauseating. He could smell everything. The lingering freshness of the laundry that had passed by, the gamey musk of some sort of broth clinging to the laundresses after their lunch. He'd never thought mice to be extraordinary, yet even soaring as a hawk, he had not felt this alertness, this level of being awake. In a world designed to kill them, he supposed mice needed such sharpness to survive. Dorian allowed himself one long breath before he squeezed beneath the shut door and into Morath itself. His senses might have been sharper, but he had never realized how daunting a set of stairs truly was without human legs. He kept to the shadows, willing himself into dust and gloom with every pair of feet that strode by. Some were armored, some were booted, some in worn shoes, all the wearers pale and miserable. No witches, thank the gods, and no Volg princes or their grunts. Certainly no sign of Erewhon. The tower he'd entered was a servant's stair, one Manon had laid out during one of her various explanations to Aelin. It was thanks to her that he followed a mental map, confirmed by his circling overhead for the past few hours. Erewhon's tower, that's where he'd begin. And if the Volg King was there, he'd figure it out. Whether he might repay Erewhon for all he'd done, regardless of Kaltain's warning. His breathing ragged, Dorian reached the bottom of the winding steps, curling his long tail around him as he peered to the dim hallway ahead. From here, he'd need to cross the entire level, take another staircase up, another hall, and then, if he was lucky, Erewhon's tower would be there. Manon had never gained access to it, never known what waited up there. Only that it was guarded by Volg at all hours. A good enough place to begin his hunt. His ears twitched. No approaching steps. No cats, mercifully. Dorian turned the corner, his grayish-brown fur blending into the rock, and scuttled along the groove where the wall met the floor. A guard stood watch at the end of the hall, staring at nothing. He loomed, large as a mountain, as Dorian approached. Dorian had nearly reached the guard and the crossroads he monitored when he felt it. The stir, and then the silence. Even the guard straightened, glancing to the slit of a window behind him. Dorian halted, tucking himself into a shadow. Nothing, no cries or shouts, yet. The guard returned to his post, but scanned the hall. Dorian remained still and quiet, waiting. Had they discovered his presence? Sent out a call? It couldn't have been as easy as it had seemed. Erewhon no doubt had traps to alert him of any enemy presence. Rushing light steps sounded around the corner, and the guard turned toward them.
What is it?
The man demanded. The approaching servant didn't check his pace. Who knows these days, with the company we keep? I'm not lingering to find out. Then the man hurried on, rushing past Dorian. Not rushing towards something, but away. Dorian's whiskers flicked as he scented the air. Nothing. Waiting in a hallway would do no good. But to plunge ahead, to seek out whatever might be happening? Not wise, either. There was one place he might hear something. Where people were always gossiping, even at Morath. So Dorian ventured back down the hall, down another set of stairs, his little legs barely able to move fast enough, toward the kitchens, hot and bright with the light of the great hearth. Lady Elide had worked here, had known these people. Not Volg, but people conscripted into service. People who would undoubtedly talk about the comings and goings of this keep, just as they had at the palace in Rifthold. The various servants and cooks were indeed waiting, staring toward the stairs on the opposite side of the cavernous kitchen, as was the lean, green-eyed tabby cat across the room. Dorian made himself as small as possible. But the beast paid him no mind, its attention fixed on the stairs, as if it knew, too. And then steps, quick and hushed. Two women entered, empty trays in their hands, both wan and trembling. A man who had to be the head cook asked the woman, "Did you see anything?" One of the women shook her head. "They weren't in the council room yet. Thank the gods." Her partner's hands wobbled as she set down her tray. "They will be soon, though."
"Lucky you got out before they came," someone said. "Or you might have found yourself part of lunch, too."
Lucky indeed. Dorian lingered, but the kitchen resumed its rhythms, satisfied two of its own had made it back safely. The council room, perhaps the same Manon had described, where Erewhon preferred to have his meetings. And if Erewhon himself was headed there? Dorian scuttled out, heeding that mental map Manon had crafted. A fool. Only a fool would willingly go to see Erewhon. Risk it. Perhaps he had a death wish. Perhaps he truly was a fool. But he wanted to see him. Had to see him, this creature who had ruined so many things, who stood poised to devour their world. He had to look at him, this thing who had ordered him enslaved, who had butchered Sorsha. And if he was fortunate, maybe he'd kill him. He could remain in this form and strike. But it would be so much more satisfying to return to his own body, to draw Damaris and end him. To let Erewhon see the pale band around his throat and know who killed him, that he hadn't broken him yet. And then Dorian would find that key. The silence showed him the way, perhaps more so than the mental map he'd memorized. Halls emptied out. The air became thick, cold, as if Erewhon's corruption leaked from him. There were no guards, human or Volg, standing watch before the open doors. No one to mark the hooded figure who strode in, black cape flowing. Dorian hurried, skittering after that figure just as the doors shut. His magic swelled, and he willed it to calm, to coil, an asp poised to strike. One blow to get Erewhon down, then he'd shift and draw Damaris. The figure halted, cloak swaying, and Dorian dashed for the nearest shadow by the crack between the door and floor. The chamber was ordinary, save for a table of black glass in its center, and the golden-haired, golden-eyed man seated at it. Manon had not lied. Erewhon had indeed shed Parrington's skin for something far fairer. Though still dressed in finery, Dorian realized as the Volg King rose, his gray jacket and pants immaculately tailored. No weapons lay at his side. No hint of the word key. But he could feel Erewhon's power, the wrongness leaking from him. Could feel it, and remember it, the way that power had felt inside him, curdling his soul. Ice cracked in his veins. Quick. He had to be quick. Strike now. "This is an unexpected delight," Erewhon said, his voice young and yet not. He gestured to the spread of food, fruits and cured meats.
Shall we?
Dorian's magic faltered as two moon-pale slender hands rose from the folds of the black cloak and pushed back the cowl. The woman beneath was not beautiful, not in the classical way. Yet with her jet-black hair, her dark eyes, her red lips, she was striking, mesmerizing. Those red lips curved, revealing bone-white teeth. Cold licked down Dorian's spine, at the pointed, delicate ears peeking above the curtain of dark hair. Fae. The woman, female, was Fae. She removed her cloak to reveal a flowing gown of deepest purple before she settled herself across the table from Erewhon. Not an ounce of hesitation or fear checked her graceful movements.
You know why I have come, then.
Erewhon smiled as he sat, pouring a goblet of wine for the female, then for himself. And all thoughts of killing vanished from Dorian's head as the Volg King asked,
Is there any other reason you would deign to visit Morath, Maeve?
Chapter 69. Orinth had not been this quiet since the day Adian and the remnants of Terrasen's court had marched to Thoralis. Even then, there had been a hum to the ancient city erected between the mouth of the Florine and the edge of the Staghorns, oak-walled a ripple of wood to the west. Then, the white walls had still been shining. Now they lay stained and grayish, as bleak as the sky. While Adian, Lysandra, and their allies strode through the towering metal doors of the western gate. Here, the walls were 6 feet thick, the blocks of stone so heavy that legend claimed Brannan had conscripted giants from the Staghorns to heave them into place. Adian would give anything for those long-forgotten giants to find their way to the city now, for the ancient wolf tribes to come racing down the towering peaks behind the city, the lost Fae of Terrasen with them, for any of the old myths to emerge from the shadows of time, as Rolf and his Mycenaeans had done. But he knew their luck had run out. Their companions knew it too. Even Ansel of Briarcliff had gone as silent as Ilias and his assassins, her shoulders bowed. She had been that way since the heads of her warriors had landed amongst their ranks, her wine-red hair dull, her steps heavy. He knew her horror, her guilt. Wished he had a moment to comfort the young queen beyond a swift apology. But Ilias, it seemed, had taken it upon himself to do just that, riding beside Ansel in steady, quiet company. The city had been laid at the feet of the towering near-mythic castle built atop a jutting piece of rock. A castle that rose so high, its uppermost turrets seemed to pierce the sky. Once, that castle had glowed, roses and creeping plants draped along its sun-warmed stones, the song of a thousand fountains singing in every hall and courtyard. Once, proud banners had flapped from those impossibly high towers, standing watch over the mountains and forest and river and plain of Thoralis below. It had become a mausoleum. No one spoke as they trudged up the steep, winding streets. Grim-faced people either stopped to stare or continued rushing to prepare for the siege. There was no way to outrun it. Not with the Staghorns at their backs, oak-walled to the west, and the army advancing from the south. Yes, they might flee eastward across the plains. But to where? To Surya, where it would only be a matter of time before they were found? To the hinterlands beyond the mountains, where the winters were so brutal they claimed no mortal could survive? The people of Orinth were as trapped as their army. Adian knew he should square his shoulders, should grin at these people, his people, and offer them a shred of courage. Yet he couldn't. Couldn't stop himself from wondering how many had lost family, friends, in the battle by the river. In the weeks of fighting before that, how many were still praying that the streaming lines of soldiers making their way toward the city would reveal a loved one? His fault. his burden. His choices had led them here. His choices had left so many bodies in the snow, a veritable path of them from the southern border, all the way to the Florine. The White Castle loomed, larger with every hill they ascended. At least they had that, the advantage of higher ground. At least they had that. Darrow and the other lords were waiting. Not in the throne room, but in the spacious council chamber on the other side of the palace. The last time Adian had been in the room, a preening Otterlanian prick had resided over the meeting. The Viceroy of Terrasen, he'd called himself. It seemed the man had taken his finery, chairs and wall hangings included, and run off the moment the king had been killed. So an ancient work table now served as their war desk, an assortment of half-rotting chairs from various rooms in the castle around it. Currently occupied by Darrow, Sloane, Gunnar, and Ironwood. Murtaugh, to Adian's surprise, was amongst them. They rose as Adian and his companions entered. Not out of any respect to Adian, but for the royals with him. Ansel of Briarcliff surveyed the piss-poor space, as she'd done for the entirety of the walk through the dim and dreary castle, and let out a low whistle. You weren't kidding when you said Otterlin raided your coffers. Her first words in hours. Days. Adian grunted. To the copper. He halted before the table. Darrow demanded, Where is Killian? Adian gave him a smile that didn't reach his eyes. Ren tensed, reading the warning in that smile. He bade me to go ahead while he led the army here. Lie. Darrow rolled his eyes, then fixed them upon Rolf, who was still frowning at the shabby castle. We have you to thank for the lucky retreat, I take it. Rolf fixed his sea-green stare upon the man. That you do. Darrow sat again, the other lords following suit. And you are... Privateer Rolf, the pirate said smoothly, commander in Her Majesty's Armada, and heir to the Mycenaean people. The other lords straightened. The Mycenaeans vanished an age ago, Lord Sloane said. But the man noted the sword at Rolf's side, the sea dragon pommel, had no doubt spied the fleet creeping up the Florine. Vanished, but did not die out, Rolf countered. And we have come to fulfill an old debt. Darrow rubbed at his temple. Old. Darrow truly looked his age as he leaned against the table edge.
Well, we have the gods to thank for that.
Lysandra said, simmering with rage,
You have Aelin to thank for that.
The man narrowed his eyes, and Adian's temper honed itself into something lethal. But Darrow's voice was exhausted, heavy as he asked,
Not pretending today, lady.
Lysandra only pointed to Rolf, then Ansel, then Galen. Swept her arm to the windows, to where the Fey Royals and Ilias of the Silent Assassins tended to their own on the castle grounds.
All of them. All of them came here because of Aelin, not you. So before you sneer that there is no Her Majesty's Armada, allow me to tell you that there is, and you are not part of it.
Darrow let out a long sigh, rubbing his temple again.
You are dismissed from this room. Like hell she is,
Adian growled. But Murtaugh cut in.
There is someone, lady, who would like to see you.
Lysandra raised her brows, and the old man winced.
I did not wish to risk leaving her in Owlsbrook alone. Evangeline is in the northern tower, in my former granddaughter's bedroom. She spotted your approach from the window, and it was all I could do to convince her to wait.
A polite, clever way to defuse the brewing storm. Adian debated telling Lysandra that she could stay. But Lysandra was already moving, dark hair flowing behind her. When she'd left, Adian said,
"She's fought on the front lines at every battle, nearly died against our enemies. I didn't see any of you bothering to do the same."
The group of old lords frowned with distaste. Yet it was Darrow who shifted in his seat, slightly, as if Adian had struck upon a festering wound.
"To be too old to fight," Darrow said quietly, "while younger men and women die, is not as easy as you would think, Adian."
He glanced down to the nameless sword at Adian's side.
"It is not easy at all."
Adian debated telling him to ask the people who died if that wasn't easy either. But Prince Galen cleared his throat.
"What preparations are underway for a siege?"
The Terrasen lords didn't seem to appreciate being questioned, but they opened their hateful mouths and spoke. An hour later, the others seen to their rooms, then to baths and hot meals, Adian found himself following her scent. She had gone not to the North Tower and the ward who awaited her, but to the throne room. The towering oak doors were cracked, the two rearing stags carved on them staring him down. Once, gold filigree had covered the immortal flame shining between their proud antlers. During the past decade, someone had peeled off the gold, either for spite or quick coin. Adian slipped through the doors, the cavernous chamber like the ghost of an old friend. How many times had he bemoaned being forced to dress in his finery and stand beside the thrones atop the dais at the far back of the pillar-lined room? How many times had he caught Aelin nodding off during an endless day of pageantry? Then, the banners of all the Terrasen territories had hung from the ceiling. Then, the pale marble floors had been so polished he could see his reflection in them. Then, an antler throne had sat upon the dais, towering and primal, built from the shed horns of the immortal stags of Oakwald. Stags now butchered and burned, as the antler throne had been after the Battle of Thyrallis. The king had ordered it done right on the battlefield. It was before that empty dais that Lysandra stood, staring at the white marble as if she could see the throne that had once been there. See the other smaller thrones that had sat beside it.
"I hadn't realized that Otterlin wrecked this place so thoroughly," she said,
either scenting him or recognizing the cadence of his footsteps.
"The bones of it are still intact," Adian said. "For how much longer that will remain true, I don't know."
Lysandra's green eyes slid toward him, dim with exhaustion and sorrow.
"Deep down," she said quietly, "some part of me thought I'd live to see her sitting here."
She pointed to the dais, to where the antler throne had once been.
"Deep down, I thought we might actually make it somehow, even with Morath and the lock and all of it."
There was no hope in her face. It was perhaps because of it that she bothered to speak to him.
"I thought so too,"
Adian said with equal quiet, though the words echoed in the vast, empty chamber.
"I thought so too."
Chapter 70. The Queen of the Fae had come to Morath. Dorian forced his heartbeat to calm, his breathing to steady as Maeve sipped from her wine.
"You do not know me, then,"
the Fae Queen said, studying the Volg King. Erewhon paused, goblet half raised to his lips.
"Are you not Maeve, Queen of Dorinel?"
Aelin. Had Maeve brought Aelin here to be sold to Erewhon? Gods. Gods. Maeve tipped back her head and laughed.
"Millennia apart, and you have forgotten even your own sister-in-law."
Dorian was glad he was small and quiet and unmarked. He might have very well swayed. Erewhon went still.
You.
Maeve smiled.
Me.
Those golden eyes roved over the Fae Queen.
In a Fae skin. All this time.
I'm disappointed you did not figure it out.
The pulse of Erewhon's power slithered over Dorian.
So similar.
So terribly similar to the oily power of that Volg prince.
Do you know what you have?
The Volg king silenced himself, straightened his shoulders.
I suppose I should thank you then,
Erewhon said, mastering himself.
Without you betraying my brother, I would not have discovered this delightful world, and would not stand primed to conquer it.
He sipped from his goblet.
But the question remains, why come here? Why reveal yourself now, my ancient enemy? Perhaps enemy no longer.
I was never your enemy,
Maeve said, her voice unruffled.
Your brothers, however, were mine.
And yet you married Orcus, knowing full well what he is like.
Perhaps I should have married you when you offered.
A small smile, coy and horrible.
But I was so young then, easily misled.
Erewhon let out a low laugh that made Dorian's stomach turn.
You were never those things. And now here we are.
If Aelin was here, if Dorian could find her, perhaps they could take on the Volg queen and king.
Here we are,
Maeve said.
You, poised to sweep this continent, and me, willing to help you.
Erewhon crossed an ankle over a knee.
Again. Why?
Maeve's fingers smoothed over the facets of her goblet.
My people have betrayed me. After all I have done for them, all I have protected them, they rose up against me. The army I had gathered refused to march. My nobles, my servants, refused to kneel. I am Queen of Dorinel, no longer.
I can guess who might be behind such a thing,
Erewhon said. Darkness flickered in the room, terrible and cold.
I had Aelin of the Wildfire contained. I had hoped to bring her here to you when she was ready. But the sentinel I assigned to oversee her care made a grave error. I myself will admit that I was deceived, and now she is again free, and took it upon herself to dispatch letters to some influential individuals in Dorinel. She is likely already on this continent.
Relief shuddered through him. Erewhon waved a hand.
In Aniel, expending her power carelessly.
Maeve's eyes glowed.
She cost me my kingdom, my throne, my circle of trusted warriors. Any neutrality I might have had in this war, any mercy I might have offered, vanished the moment she and her mate left.
They'd found her. Somehow they'd found her. And Aniel, did he dare hope Kaol might also be there? Dorian might have roared his victory. But Maeve continued.
Aelin Galathinius will come for me, if she survives you. I do not plan to allow her the chance to do so.
Erewhon's smile grew.
So you think to ally with me?
Only together can we ensure Brannan's bloodline is toppled forever, never to rise again.
Then why not kill her when you had her?
Would you have done so, brother? Would you not have tried to turn her?
Erewhon's silence was confirmation enough. Then the Volg King asked,
You lay a great deal before me, sister. Do you expect me to believe you so readily?
I anticipated that. Her lips curved. After all, I have nothing left but my own powers.
Erewhon said nothing, as if well aware of the dance the queen led him in. She extended a moon-white hand toward the center of the room.
There is something else I might bring to the table. Should it interest you?
A flick of her slender fingers, and a hole simply appeared in the heart of the chamber. Dorian started, curling himself farther into shadow and dust, not bothering to hide his trembling, as a horror only true darkness could craft appeared on the other side of that hole. The portal.
I had forgotten you'd mastered that gift,
Erewhon said, his golden eyes flaring at the thing that now bowed to them, its pincers clicking. The spider.
And I'd forgotten that they still bothered to answer to you,
Erewhon went on.
When the Fae cast me aside,
Maeve said, smiling faintly at the enormous spider.
I returned to those who have always been loyal to me.
The Stygian spiders have become their own creatures,
Erewhon countered.
Your list of allies remains short.
Maeve shook her head, dark hair shining.
These are not the Stygian spiders.
Through the portal, Dorian could make out jagged ashen rock.
Mountains. These are the Karen Kui, as the people of the southern continent call them. My most loyal handmaidens.
Dorian's heart thundered as the spider bowed again. Erewhon's face turned cool and bored.
What use would I have for them?
He gestured to the windows beyond, the hellscape he'd crafted.
I have created armies of beasts loyal to me. I do not need a few hundred spiders.
Maeve didn't so much as falter.
My handmaidens are resourceful, their webs long-reaching. They speak to me of the goings-on in the world, and spoke to me of the next phase of your grand plans.
Dorian braced himself. Erewhon stiffened. Maeve drawled,
The Volg princesses need hosts. You have had difficulty in securing ones powerful enough to hold them. The Khaganate princess managed to survive the one you planted in her, and is mistress of her own body once more.
Volg princesses? In the southern continent, Kaol...
I'm listening, Erewhon said.
Maeve pointed to the spider still bowing at the portal. The portal to the southern continent opened as easily as a window.
Why bother with human hosts for the six remaining princesses, when you might create ones far more powerful and willing?
Erewhon's gold eyes slid to the spider.
You and your kin would allow this?
His first words to the creature. The spider's pincers clicked, her horrible eyes blinking.
It would be our honor to prove our loyalty to our queen.
Maeve smiled at the spider. Dorian shuddered.
Immortal, powerful hosts,
Maeve purred to the Volg King.
With their innate gifts, imagine how the princesses might thrive within them. Both spider and princess becoming more.
Becoming a horror beyond all reckoning. Erewhon said nothing, and Maeve flicked her fingers, the portal and spider vanishing. She rose, graceful as a shadow.
I shall let you consider this alliance, if that is what you wish. The Karen Kui will do as I bid them, and will happily march under your banner.
Yet what shall I say to my brother when I see him again?
Maeve angled her head. Do you plan to see Orcus again?
Why do you think I have spent so long building this army, preparing this world, if not to greet my brothers once more, if not to impress them with what I have made here?
Erewhon would bring the Volg Kings back to Irelia, if given the chance. And if he did... Maeve studied the seated king. Tell Orcus that I grew bored of waiting for him to come home from his conquests. A spider smile. I would much rather have joined him.
Erewhon blinked, the only sign of his surprise. Then he waved an elegant hand, and the doors opened on a phantom wind.
I shall think on this, sister, for your brazenness in approaching me. I will allow you to stay as my guest until I decide.
Two guards appeared in the hall, and Dorian braced himself, paws tensing on the stones.
They will show you to your room.
To remain in this chamber for too long might lead to his exposure. But he had not sensed the key on the Volg King. Later. He could keep looking later. Contemplate the best way to kill the king, too, if he was foolish enough to risk it. For now. Maeve gathered her cloak, sweeping it around her, and Dorian rushed forward, ducking into its shadows once more as the Fey Queen prowled out. The guards led her down a hall, up a winding stair, and into a tower adjacent to Erewhon's. It was well appointed in polished oak furniture and crisp linen sheets. Likely a remnant of the years this had been a human stronghold, and not a home of horrors. As the door shut behind Maeve, she leaned into the iron-studded wood and sighed.
Do you plan to hide in that pathetic form all day?
Dorian lunged for the gap between the door and the floor, but her black-booted foot slammed down upon his tail. Pain speared through his bones, but her foot remained in place. His magic surged, lashing, but a dark wind wrapped talons around it, choking, stifling. The Fey Queen smiled down at him.
You are not a very skilled spy, King of Otterlin.
Chapter 71. Dorian's magic struggled, roaring as her dark power held him in its net. If he could turn into a wyvern and rip her head off. But Maeve smiled, weary and amused, and lifted her foot from his poor tail, then released her grip on his magic. He shuddered at the dark, festering power as it caressed talons down his magic, brushed the shimmering raw core, and vanished. It was an effort not to gag, not to touch the pale band on his neck just to be sure it was gone. Maeve's smile remained on her red mouth, his magic still shivering as the feel of her power lingered. The power to break into minds, to rip apart the psyche. A different sort of enemy. One that would require another route. A reckless fool's route. A courtier's route. So he shifted, fur becoming skin, paws into hands. When he at last stood before the Fey Queen, man once more, her smile grew.
How handsome you are.
Dorian sketched a bow. He didn't dare reach for Damaris at his side.
How did you know?
You did not think I beheld you, your scent and the feel of your power, in Aelin's memories?
She angled her head.
Though my spy did not report your interest in shifting.
Cyrene. Horror crept through him. Maeve strode deeper into the chamber and took up a seat on the bench before the foot of the bed, as regally as if she sat upon her throne.
How do you think the matrons knew where to find you?
Cyrene was only at the camp for a day,
he managed to say. Do you truly believe that there are no other spiders up there in the mountains? They all answer to her and to me. She needed only whisper once to the right ones, and they found me and found the iron teeth.
Maeve ran a hand along the lap of her gown.
Whether Erewhon knows of your gifts remains to be seen. Before you killed her, Cyrene certainly informed me that you were different.
He did not regret killing her one bit.
But that is neither here nor there. Cyrene is dead, and you are a long way from the arms of Manon Blackbeak.
Dorian braced a hand on Damaris's hilt. Maeve smiled at the ancient sword.
It seems the Queen of Terrasen learned to share.
She's acquired quite the trove, hasn't she?
Dorian started. If Maeve knew everything Aelin possessed.
I know that, too,
Maeve said, her dark eyes depthless. Damaris warmed in his grip.
And no, the spider did not guess at that truth, at least.
She scanned him.
Where are they now, Dorian Havilyard?
Something slithering and sharp slid along his mind, trying to get in. Dorian's magic roared. A sheet of ice slammed into those mental talons, blasted them away. Maeve chuckled, and Dorian blinked, finding the room also coated with frost.
A dramatic but effective method.
Dorian smirked at her. You think I would be foolish enough to allow you into my mind? Still keeping one hand on the sword, he slid the other into a pocket, if only to hide its shaking. Or to tell you where they are hidden?
It was worth the attempt, Maeve said.
Why not sound the alarm? Was his only reply. Maeve leaned back, studying him again.
You want what I want. Erewhon has it. Does that not make you and I allies of a sort?
You must be mad to think I would ever give you the keys.
Am I? What would you do with them, Dorian? Destroy them?
What would you do? Conquer the world?
Maeve laughed. Oh, nothing so common as that. I would make sure that Erewhon and his brothers can never return.
Damaris remained warm in his hand. The queen spoke the truth, or some part of it. You'll admit so easily that you plan to betray Erewhon?
Why do you think I came here?
Maeve asked.
My people have cast me out, and I guessed you would seek out Morath soon enough.
Damaris's warmth did not falter, yet Dorian said, You cannot think I'd believe you came here to win my allegiance. Not when I saw that you planned to offer Erewhon your spiders to assist his princesses. He didn't want to know what the Volg princesses could do, why Erewhon had delayed his unleashing of them.
A small sacrifice on my part, to win his trust.
Damaris held warm.
We are not so different, you and I. And I have nothing to lose now, thanks to your friend.
Truth, truth, truth. And there it was, the opening he'd been waiting for. Keeping his mind encased in that wall of ice, his magic sizing up the enemy before them, Dorian let his hand slide from Damaris's hilt. Let her see his thawing distrust as he said, Aelin seems to be skilled at wrecking the kingdoms of other people while protecting her own.
And at letting others pay her debts.
Dorian stilled. Though his magic continued its vigil, monitoring her dark power as it paced the barrier to his mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
Maeve asked.
To be the sacrifice so that Aelin need not destroy herself.
She clicked her tongue.
Such a terrible waste. for either of you to pay the price for Elena's foolishness.
It is.
Truth. Can I tell you what Aelin revealed to me during those months I was able to peer into her mind? Dorian didn't dare reach for Damaris again.
You enslaved her, he growled. I don't want to hear a damn thing about it.
Maeve brushed her curtain of hair over a shoulder, humming. Aelin is glad it's you, she merely said. She's hoping she'll be too late in returning. That you'll accomplish what you've set out to do and spare her from a terrible choice.
She has a mate and a kingdom. I don't blame her.
The sharpness in his words wasn't entirely faked. Don't you? Don't you have a kingdom to look after? One no less powerful and noble than Taryson?
When he didn't answer, Maeve said,
Aelin has been freed for weeks now, and she has not come to find you.
The continent is a big place.
A knowing smile. She could find you, if she wished. And yet she went to Aniel.
He knew what manner of game she played. His magic slipped a fraction. An opening. Maeve's own lashed for it, seeking a way in. She'd barely crossed the threshold when he gritted his teeth and threw her from his mind again, the wall of ice colliding with her. If you want me to ally with you, you're picking one hell of a way to show it.
Maeve laughed softly. Can you blame me for trying?
Dorian didn't answer, and stared at her for a long minute. Made a show of considering. Every bit of courtly intrigue and training kept his face unreadable. You think I'd betray my friends that easily?
Is it betrayal? Maeve mused. To find an alternative to you and Aelin Galathinius, paying the ultimate price. It was what I intended for her all along. To keep her from being a sacrifice to unfeeling gods.
Those gods are powerful beings.
Then where are they now?
She gestured to the room, the keep.
Silence answered. They are afraid. Of me, of Erewhon, of the keys.
She gave him a serpent smile.
They are afraid of you. You, an Aelin Firebringer. Powerful enough to send them home, or to damn them.
He didn't answer. She wasn't entirely wrong.
Why not defy them? Why bow to their wishes? What have they ever done for you?
Sorsha's pained face flashed before his eyes. There is no other way, he said at last, to end this.
The keys could end it.
To wield them, rather than seal them back into the gate.
They could do anything,
Maeve went on.
Destroy Erewhon? Banish those gods back to their home, if that's what they want?
She angled her head.
Open another door to realms of peace and resting.
To the woman who would undoubtedly be there. The dark, predatory power stalking his mind faded away, pulled back to its mistress. Aelin had done it once. Opened a door to see Nehemia. It was possible. The encounters with Gavin and Caltaine only confirmed it. What if you didn't ally only with me? He asked at last. But with Otterlin itself? Maeve didn't answer, as if she were surprised by the offer. A bigger alliance than merely working together to find the key. Dorian mused and shrugged. You have no kingdom and clearly want another. Why not lend your gifts to Otterlin? To me. Bring your spiders to our side.
A breath ago, you were livid that I enslaved your friend.
Oh, I still am. Yet I am not so proud to refuse to consider the possibility. You want a kingdom? Then join mine. Ally with me.
Work with me to get what we need from Erewhon, and I shall make you queen of a far bigger territory, with a people who will not rise up against you. A new start, I suppose.
When she still did not speak, Dorian leaned against the door. The portrait of courtly nonchalance.
You think I'm trying to trick you? Perhaps I am.
And Manon Blackbeak? What of your promises to her?
I have made her no promises regarding my throne, and she wants nothing to do with them anyway.
He didn't hide the bitterness as he shrugged again.
Marriages have been built on far more volatile foundations than this one.
Aelin of the Wildfire might very well mark you as an enemy, should we make a true union.
Aelin will not risk killing an ally. Not right now. And she will discover that she is not the only one capable of saving this world. Perhaps she'll even come to thank me, if she's as eager to avoid being sacrificed as you claim.
Maeve's red mouth curved upward.
You are young and brash.
Dorian sketched a bow again.
I am also exceedingly handsome and willing to offer up my throne in a gesture of good faith.
I could sell you to Erewhon right now, and he would reward me handsomely.
Reward you? As if you are a hound bringing back a pheasant to its master.
Dorian laughed, and her eyes flashed.
It was you who just posed this alliance between us, not me. But consider this. Shall you kneel, or shall you rule, Maeve?
He tapped his neck, right over the pale band across it.
I have knelt, and found I have no interest in doing so again. Not for Erewhon, or for Aelin, or anyone.
Another shrug.
The woman I love is dead, my kingdom is in pieces. What do I have to lose?
He let some of the old ice, the hollowness in his chest, rise to his face.
I'm willing to play this game. Are you?
Maeve fell silent again. And slowly, those phantom hands crept into the corners of his mind. He let her see the truth she sought. He withstood it, that probing touch. At last, Maeve loosed a breath through her nose.
You came to Morath for a key, and will leave with a bride.
He nearly sagged with relief.
I will leave with both, and quickly.
And how do you propose we are to find what we seek?
Dorian smiled at the Fey Queen,
the Volg Queen. Leave that to me.
Atop Morath's highest tower, hours later, Dorian peered at the army campfires littering the valley floor, his raven's feathers ruffled in the frozen wind off the surrounding peaks. The screams and snarling had quieted, at least, as if even Morath's dungeon masters maintained ordinary hours of working. He might have found the idea darkly funny, if he didn't know what manner of thing was being broken and bred here. His cousin Roland had wound up here. He knew it, though no one had ever confirmed it. Had he survived the transition to Volg Prince? Or had he merely been a meal for one of the terrors who prowled this place? He lifted his head, scanning the cloudy sky. The moon was a pale blur behind them, a trickle of light that seemed keen to remain hidden from Morath's watchful eyes. A dangerous game. He was playing one hell of a dangerous game. Did Gavin watch him now, from wherever he rested? Had he learned what manner of monster Dorian had allied himself with? He didn't dare to summon the king here, not with Erewhon so close. Close enough that Dorian might have attacked. Perhaps he'd been a fool not to. Perhaps he'd be a fool to attempt it, as Kaltain had warned, when it might reveal their mission, when Erewhon had those collars on hand. Dorian cast a glance to the adjacent tower, where Maeve slept. A dangerous, dangerous game. The dark tower beyond hers seemed to throb with power. The council room down the hall from it was still lit, however. And in the hall, motion. People striding past the torches, hurrying. Stupid. Utterly stupid. And yet he found himself flapping into the frigid night, found himself banking, then swooping to a cracked window along the hallway. He pushed the window open a bit farther with his beak and listened.
Months I've been here, and now he refuses my counsel?
A tall, thin man stomped down the hall, away from Erewhon's council room. Toward the tower door at the end of the hall and the blank-faced guards stationed there. At his side, two shorter men struggled to keep up. One of them said,
Erewhon's motives are mysterious indeed, Lord Vernon. He does nothing without reason. Have faith in him.
Dorian froze. Vernon Locken, Elide's uncle. His magic surged, ice cracking over the windowsill. Dorian tracked the lanky lord while he stormed past, his dark fur cape drooping to the stones.
I have had faith in him, beyond what could be expected, Vernon snapped.
The lord and his lackeys gave the tower door a wide berth as they passed it, turned the corner, and vanished, their voices fading with them. Dorian surveyed the empty hall, the council room at the far end. The door still ajar.
He didn't hesitate, didn't give himself time to reconsider as he crafted his plan and waited.
Erewhon emerged an hour later. Dorian's heart thundered through him, but he kept his position in the hall, kept his shoulders straight and hands behind his back. Precisely how he'd appeared to the guards when he'd rounded the corner, having flown off to a quiet hall before shifting and striding here. The Volg King surveyed him once, and his mouth tightened.
I thought I'd dismissed you for the night, Vernon.
Dorian bowed his head, willing his breathing steady with each step Erewhon made toward him. His magic stirred, recoiling in terror at the creature who approached, but he forced it down deep, to a place where Erewhon would not detect it. As he had not detected Dorian earlier, perhaps the raw magic in him also erased any traceable scent. Dorian bowed his head.
I had returned to my chambers, but I realized I had a lingering question, milord.
He prayed Erewhon didn't notice the different clothes, the sword that he kept half hidden beneath his cloak. Prayed Erewhon decided that Vernon had gone back to his room, changed, and returned. And prayed that he spoke enough like the Lord of Peranth to be convincing. A sniveling, groveling man. The sort who'd sell his own niece to a demon king.
What is it?
Erewhon stalked down the hall to his tower, a nightmare wrapped in a beautiful body.
Strike him now. Kill him.
And yet Dorian knew he hadn't come here for that. Not at all. He kept his head down, voice low.
Why?
Erewhon slid golden, glowing eyes toward him. Manon's eyes.
Why what?
You might have made yourself lord of a dozen other territories, and yet you graced us with this one. I have long wondered why.
Erewhon's eyes narrowed to slits, and Dorian kept his face the portrait of groveling curiosity. Had Vernon asked this before?
A stupid gamble, if Erewhon noticed the sword at his side.
My brothers and I planned to conquer this world, to add it to the trove that we'd already taken.
Erewhon's golden hair danced with the light of the torches as he walked the long hall. Dorian had a feeling that when they reached the tower at the far end, the conversation would be through.
We arrived at this one, encountered a surprising amount of resistance, and they were banished back. I could do nothing less while trapped here than to repay this world for the blow they dealt us. So I will make this world into a mirror of our homeland.
to honor my brothers, and to prepare it for their return.
Dorian sifted through countless lessons on the royal houses of their lands, and said,
I, too, know what it is to have a brotherly rivalry.
He gave the king a simpering smile.
You killed yours,
Erewhon said, bored already.
I love my brothers dearly.
The idea was laughable. Half the hallway remained until the tower door.
Will you truly decimate this world, then? All who dwell in it? Those who do not kneel.
Maeve at least wished to preserve it. To rule, but to preserve it.
Would they receive collars and rings, or a clean death?
Erewhon surveyed him sidelong.
You have never wondered for the sake of your people. Not even the sake of your niece. Failure that she was.
Dorian made himself cringe and bowed his head.
I apologize again for that, milord. She is a clever girl. So clever, it seems, that one confrontation with you and you were scared away.
Dorian again bowed his head.
I will go hunt for her, if that is what you wish. I am aware that she no longer has what I seek, and it is now lost to me. A loss you brought about.
The word Kialid had carried, given to her by Kaltane. Dorian wondered if Vernon had indeed been lying low for months now, avoiding this conversation. He cringed again.
Tell me how to rectify it, milord, and it will be done.
Erewhon halted, and Dorian's mouth went dry. His magic coiled within him, bracing. But he made himself look the king in the face, meet the eyes of the creature who had brought about so much suffering.
Your bloodline proved useless to me, Vernon.
Erewhon said,